Well, let me welcome all of you, any visitors or guests. Let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. And, of course, to my CA family, great to be with you. Whether you are catching this through our Christian Assembly app, whether you're watching this online, whether you're seeing this on the north side of the street, we welcome you. Of course, those who are gathered here now as well. Have one little housekeeping item I need to call your attention to. In your seat back in front of you, we launched last weekend a brand new Money Back Tithe Challenge. In fact, it's going to kick off in February. And so in your seat back in front of you, you can go ahead and grab that. If you want to be part of it, you need to register to do it. And so that means just fill this out. And then at the exits on your way out, you can drop it in one of the blue buckets. People have been asking me, what if I already tithe? What if I give above and beyond a tithe? Do I need to do the challenge? No, if you're already tithing, then you've already experienced God's good blessing, right? So you don't need to do it if you're already tithing. Of course, those who are being held back. I'm convinced that the number one reason people aren't more generous is you're afraid that God's going to leave you on the short end of the stick. God's word is clear consistently that will not happen. And so he says, test me in this. So go ahead and do that. You can fill that out, drop it at the exits. If you're watching this online or on the app, just email us, let us know, and we'd love to have you be part of that challenge. The number one thing I heard last week whenever we launched this from people was that they did it a couple years ago when we did it and how it changed their life, not just their finances, how they began to trust God in other areas as well. So let's jump in and do that together. Well, it is my honor and privilege to introduce you some that we have as a guest speaker. And he doesn't really feel like a guest to me because he just feels like he fits and he's at home here at CA. He's spoken at our men's retreat previously. His name is Keith Jenkins. I've gotten to know Keith over the last many years, and I just love joking around with him. But even more than joking around with him, I love this guy's heart for God's word and for people. I love how he brings both grace and truth together. And so as he's just been building that friendship, God's been building friendship between us. I was at the men's retreat and I thought, you know, I don't just want the men who come on the men's retreat to meet Keith and hear what God's going to say. I want all of us. And so would you welcome my dear friend Keith Jenkins as he comes to share with us.
Thank you, brother. So, man, thanks. Man. You guys have way too much fun in church. I grew up in a church where you went to church on the weekends to find out why you were going to hell that weekend. Wasn't a lot of fun. Hello, somebody. But this is good. It feels like home. I think I should say first and foremost, hello, ladies. How are you doing? Because for the last 3 years, I've been having these intimate encounters with the men of CA and our retreats. Men, how you doing? Yeah. Amen. Good to see you. Ladies, we love you as well. Good to be with you tonight. Hey, it has been, over the last several years, a joy of mine to get to know your pastors, the leadership team. One of the things that I get to do, the Lord's grace us, we get to travel around, see different expressions of the body of Christ and different leaders. And I'll just tell you that you have a great set of leaders, not just one, but a leadership team that serves you well. Can you give them a big hand? Amen. Amen. It's a blessing. And so for me, I actually, the men I've been talking about, Coco, for the last 3 years, she is actually, she does exist, fellas. She does love me. She's here. My girlfriend for the last 32 years is here on the front row with me. She could have had anybody, but she chose me. And so I'm grateful, and I try to make her happy and glad about it, that decision, every day. Amen? I want her to never go back on that one. Come on, somebody. So also, I used to pastor in L.A. in a church by the name of New Life L.A. before I transitioned and moved to Oregon. And some of those folks are here tonight, and I just want to tell you, I love you so much. I see three of them here, some of them back there. Got Bruce, my right-hand man from being down in L.A. on the front row. And so we just love you. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming. Amen. How many are ready for the word this morning, this evening? God. You ready? So listen, here's what I want to say to you. This message won't be like a typical sermon. Normally, my method is to teach through the different books in the Bible expositorily, but tonight, I got one shot with you, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to be inspirational, motivational, biblical, and practical. Amen? Now, a friend of mine asked me recently, he said, hey, listen, I've got some tickets. How many ever heard of Tony Robbins? Anybody ever heard of him? And so a friend of mine said, hey, I got some tickets to Tony Robbins. The environment is incredible. You got to come. You need to come with me. And I said, how much is it? He said, $2,500 a ticket. Said, okay, no problem. And so tonight, let me just say to you, the environment is incredible because the Holy Spirit is here. Can't get you to Tony, but I'm here. Hello, somebody. And the material that I use, I'm going to give God all the credit for it, unlike other people that do it. Come on. And I would say also to you that it is going to be fantastic. And I would remind you, you get what you pay for. Hello. Open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 5. And I just want to read a couple portions of scripture that I hopefully will paint a message on you that will help you locate and orient yourself. 2019 is here. Hopefully you've already turned the page from 2018. How many glad that year's over? Yeah, don't carry it with you into 2019. Carry the gems, the lessons, the grace that you learned, the trust, the faith that you had in God that got deepened. Carry that into 2019, but don't stay there. And so, but before you launch out, before you move forward, before you embrace and do all the resolutions on all those things, did you know that there's already a day in January, I think it was January 12th, that is resolution break day. That is the day that people break their resolutions, so it's already passed. So tonight, you can get started again with a vision from God that'll last the rest of your life. Amen? And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most. Here's what I want to key in on. Verse 16, underline this. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Again, be very careful then how you live. How many know that we ought to be very mindful, not panic-ridden, but careful about how we live, what we give our lives to, what we give our affections to, how we spend our time. We should be very careful about how we live. And then he says, there's two ways that you can live, either as a wise person or as an unwise person. The unwise person lives their life according to the text. In this particular case, the unwise person lives their life unaware of what the Lord's will is for their life. I want you to hear that real quick, because I don't want you to have a general understanding of what the Lord's will is or what the Lord's will is for CA. That's good, but I want you to know that God has not only a general will for the body of Christ, but he has a unique and a specific will and plan for each individual sitting here tonight. And hopefully before tonight, if I don't do anything else, I will have provoked you so that you will go before the Lord and stay there. Here's what I want you to do. Go before the Lord and stay there until you get the specifics about why you were designed the way you were designed. Some of you are corny like me, hello, and you laugh at things that other people don't laugh at, or you cry about things that other people don't cry about, or you're moved by things that other people aren't. That is because you are uniquely designed by God for a purpose, on purpose, and you must not give yourself to general things. Must not give yourself to other people's vision. How many of you recognize that if you don't have a vision for your life, people will assign one to you? Your job has a vision. Your company has a vision. And it is accomplishing its vision. And it's using you to help accomplish it. And after a while, when they change directions or want a new product or have a different vision, they may phase your section out, your department out. Hopefully, your vision is broader than that company and doesn't come solely from them. So when they change directions, you can say, God, plant me in another company. I'm still living on mission, still accomplishing your vision. Amen. Hello, somebody. That'll help you. Amen? Amen. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now listen to what it says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And in Psalms 90 and 12, it says this. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I started laughing about numbering our days. I turned 52. I know I don't look like it. I say it all the time because black don't crack. Hello. I'm going to look good a long time. My grandmother was Native American. I know for a fact we're going to be good. My wife is in good hands from now on. But I saw this formula. So the psalm said to number our days or measure them out. And so, but I saw this formula that said, and it's in your bulletin. All of you should have it in your handout. It said that the average lifespan is about 27,375 days. That's the average. If you're average, that's how long you got, 27,375 days. And then they say, take 365 multiplied by your age, which for me is 52, it equals 18,980 days. That's how long I've lived in days. So then you take that number and minus it from 27,375, and it gives you how many days you probably have left. For me, I have 8,395 days left, sweetheart, which is 23 years. You better make the most of them. So it says probably if I'm average, I'm gonna live till I'm 75. Now, I said this, I preached this message before once already, and this lady came up to me in a walk, and she was like 85 years old. She said, I just want you to know I'm above average. I said, go on, girl. I said, keep praying for me. But it did make me, you know, we've got a grandbaby. I got things to live for, so I'm not trying to get out of here no sooner than I can. But it made me want to think about making the most of opportunities that I have. Made me think about making the most of moments. In fact, it robbed some guy of an appointment with me because he had an appointment and he was 20 minutes late, never called me, never said anything. I'm a Marine, I'm always 15 minutes early to things. And so that meant that I had already been there almost 30 minutes waiting for him and he never called. And so I left because I got to make the most of the moment. Hello. And it did, it just created a sense of urgency. He apologized later, some things happened. I'm saying, yeah, you gotta call me because you're wasting my life. I'm thinking on the other side, you're wasting my life when you don't call me and you're late. You're basically telling me that your life is more important and what you're doing than mine. And so there's this sense of urgency to live and maximize the moment. Now, already, let me just say to you, when you do that math, the first thing that's gonna happen if you've lived a little while is you're going to start thinking about moments that have passed, opportunities that have passed, and there can be some discouragement in the room right out the gate. And some of you are thinking, why did Tom bring that guy? I'm depressed already. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to spend this moment, the life that is now, living in regret, which is literally taking the grace and the mercy of God for today and trying to undo something that will never be changed in your past. Being disappointed and you lost opportunities, spent money that you shouldn't have spent, all kinds of things in the past. You cannot take the grace of God for this moment and travel back in time and undo anything. All you can do is live with the mantra that I live with, and it is this. My story is not written in full yet. I can't go back and undo anything. All I can do is say, from here, I will live wiser. From here, God, Holy Spirit, help me to live wiser and more discerning from this moment forward. And as we continue to write the story, I'm believing you to restore some things. Come on, somebody. I'm believing you to make some things new. I'm believing you that I'm going to be a better husband, a better father as we move forward each year. But I will not spend time in the past, sifting through dead things, hoping somehow that I'll get a chance to revive them while missing the opportunities and the moments that God has given me right now. Think about that for a minute. Some people are still fainting over somebody that didn't love them, and there's people in the present moment trying to love them. Mm-hmm. That'll help you, somebody. Single people upset because somebody didn't pick them. And there's people all around them right now. Opportunities abound. And yet we're still 10 years behind. How about letting the grace of God solidify you in this moment and use the mercies of God right now, today, to live more fully for him right now. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap tonight. So before we go anywhere, before we launch out, before you make all your promises about what you're going to do in 2019, can we just stop for a minute and locate ourselves? Let's just locate ourselves. Before we go anywhere, let's find out where we are right now. And one of the things, when I was in the Marine Corps, before we had a chance to use GPS and satellite-guided equipment, I remember being dropped off with a group of guys with a map and a compass, and we had to find our way to known points. And the first thing that you have to do in a situation like that is you have to put your map down. Hopefully, you get up on a vantage point where you can see. That'll help somebody right now. If you're going to have vision for this year, you got to get a different vantage point so you can see your life, so you can see your circumstances, so you can see everything. So you put the map down, and you bring your compass down. You try to find true north, lay it out, and then you start looking at prominent terrain features. Okay, there's a mountain over there. There's a stream down there. So, okay, it looks like I'm right here on the map. How many ever got lost in a mall and you needed the map to say you are here? Okay, you know what I'm talking about now. Some of you guys are like, I like the shop too. Okay, so we have to locate ourselves. Before you ever go on a journey, you have to locate yourself. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says that the fivefold ministry is established so that the church would grow up into maturity. And you read through that chapter, and one of the things it says that would be a mark of spiritual maturity is that you can speak the truth in love, okay? So when we start speaking the truth in love to one another, that's a mark. But what I found is people like to speak the truth, but they don't like to hear it. You can't stand the truth. How many of you know that the first thing you're going to have to do is tell yourself the truth about where you are? You have to tell yourself the truth. You're going to do it graciously, compassionately. But you need to tell yourself the truth. My wife and I are in this process right now in this year. We're asking hard questions of our marriage. Where are we in our intimacy? Where are we in our communication? Where are we financially? We want to locate ourselves so we can trust God for the next season in our life. We've been married 3 decades. That means I've got to somehow find a new woman in a familiar place. Somebody heard that. Come on. That means I know where the things are. I know where she is. But like a diamond, there's different facets to her. And I need the Lord to show me a different facet so I can fall in love again. Hello. Well, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. CA, y'all need help. Come on, man. Let's go. We're going on buses. We're getting out of here tonight. Going to the mountain tonight. Where are we? Where are we financially? Where are we emotionally? Tell the truth about yourself. I had to tell the truth about myself. It came this way. I had been watching myself on video in our church. We got screens like these, but they usually are recording us, right? And so I started watching myself on video, and I thought, man, the camera adds what? 10. No, it don't. 20. I started looking at myself. I'm like, that's me. I'm like one sandwich away from being a clump. You kidding me? Could not believe it. I went from extra large to double X to double X, and I was on my way to triple. And my wife said, the devil is a liar. I had been, but here's the truth. I had been looking at myself in the mirror, lying to myself. It's not that bad. Oregon winters, we don't get sunshine like this. You know what you do when it rains in Oregon? You stay home and eat. And I did. Had to tell myself the truth about my physical appearance and start doing something about it. You are going to have to tell yourself the truth about where you are. Come on, somebody. You and your wife, you need to have a hard conversation. You as a single person, you need to have a conversation with yourself. Why am I not dating? Is there something that I might need to look at about my personality, about the way I present myself? Whatever that is, you got to start by telling yourself the truth. Is that all right? The great daytime prophet, Dr. Phil McGraw, says you can't change what you won't acknowledge. Can't change what you won't acknowledge. Can't be delivered from what you don't reveal. You cannot change or heal or any of those things with things that you won't acknowledge. Amen? No matter how hard it is, the grace of God is there to help us. So let's get first things first before we even move anywhere. The first thing we want to do is to make sure this year we have a deepening walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that we have intimacy with Him. We want to make sure that the spiritual disciplines of reading His word and prayer, church attendance, not just attendance, but participation. I mean, no, you're not just the this is not for you to come and spectate in. This is a place where we all come and participate in the mission of God in some capacity, lifting up some part of the mission of CA. Amen? And so that is the first thing. John chapter 15 gives a metaphor that I love that talks about a vine and branches. And the idea is that the branch is supplied by the vine. and that there's a vital union between a branch and a vine. John 15 and 5 says it this way, I am the vine and you are the branches. That means he's the source. That means he supplies life to the branch. The branch doesn't supply life to the vine. But sometimes we live our lives like Christian atheists. We live our lives saying we believe in God, we believe in God, we need God, until we literally don't live that out. That is a metaphor, that is an aspiration. Most of the time, it can be lived out this way. We leave our houses without really praying, without really seeking the Lord for direction. We don't use his word enough to sustain us. It's all of these things where all of a sudden, until you get in trouble, then it's a 911 call to Jesus. I need the Lord. No, how many realize you need him every day, every moment of the day? Watch this, not just in the big decisions of life, but in all of your decisions in life. The Lord wants to be involved. We acknowledge him, according to Proverbs, we acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he'll direct our paths. Amen? Amen. It is important for you and I to start this year by answering God's question to Adam in the garden. Where are you? He didn't need information from Adam. It wasn't that Adam was lost geographically. It's that Adam didn't know his disposition relationally had changed. And God wanted him to recognize. Adam thought that sewing some fig leaves together would hide his condition, and it did not. And so this evening, right out the gate, God may be speaking to some of you and saying, where are you? Or better put, where have you been? Better put, aren't you tired yet? I miss you. Don't you miss me? Don't you miss our fellowship together? Adam had unbroken fellowship with the Lord. It was this place of intimacy and connection that they shared. There's some of us that life got in the way this last year, and we finished the year not in an intimate, deepening relationship with the Lord Jesus. We got to locate ourselves first and foremost because it is the vine that gives life to the branch. It's not a date. It's not a spouse. It's not a job. It's not more money, because I know people with millions of dollars and I wouldn't trade their life for 1 minute. My life in Christ is much more. So listen, if you remain in me and I in you, watch this, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I noticed that in my life, so let's just talk about me for a minute. I noticed that in my life, everything is fighting for the union, the connection that I have with God. It's fighting for it. It's fighting for my time, my energy, my passion, my talents, my money. Everything is fighting to sever me from union with him. Why? Because the devil realizes that if he can get you severed, just like a branch cut off of a tree, it has life in it for a while. But not long before, after a while, the life starts drying up, marriage starts drying up, finances, every area starts to wither as we're disconnected from him. So before we venture off and do anything this year, can we just stop for a while and say, God, let's get reconnected. Let's get reunited. The Holy Spirit sent me here for no other reason than maybe to draw you back home to say, hey, he's missed you. How many know the Lord loves you? Come on, that's five of you. How many know the Lord loves you, cares about you? Amen. So then here's what I know about land navigation, and here's what I know about traveling through life. Every now and then, you're going to have to reorient yourself. You have to make a course correction. So tonight is sort of that kind of moment where you can stop and reflect and say, okay, instead of just traveling through life, assuming we're headed in the right direction, maybe tonight is like, maybe we need to make a course adjustment in our lives. Maybe the Holy Spirit is interrupting your usually scheduled programming tonight to say, hey, I need you to pop up and listen to me for a little while, because there may be some Holy Spirit directives that you need to yield to that'll lead you to some other places. Now, Fred Price used to say it this way back in the early 70s and 80s. He said there's three things. There's faith, there's foolishness, and then there's presumption. Come on. We can be in one of three places. We can be in faith with God. We can be presuming that we know what God wants for us, but not really checking with him. We just presume and go through life thinking, yeah, generally I think this is what God would want. And then there's absolute foolishness. Anybody ever been in foolishness before? Thank God that he gets us out of that, yes? Ephesians 5 and 17, I've just been meditating on that one. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will is. How am I going to maximize my life if I don't even know what God's will is for it? Rick Warren said it this way. He said there's two paths, basically, toward finding out what the purpose is or the vision that God has for your life. It's either speculation or revelation. Speculation is nothing more than a theory with no firm evidence. It's a guess. Revelation is God divinely uncovering information for you that you could not have any other way. It is you going before the Lord, seeking his face, and him uncovering. That's what revelation is. Him uncovering some aspect of knowledge that he has about your life. Wouldn't you want to know what God knows about you? What is to happen in the next year? What is to happen in the next 5 years? How am I to position myself and align myself? Because what we want is we want to be aligned with the Lord's will. And the Lord's will is fruitfulness. And the Lord's will is a sense of transcendence and purpose and fulfillment and peace and joy. Not that it's free of struggle, but in the midst of it, I know that I know that I know that he's got me. It's Job that no matter what happens, in a day's time, lost everything, lost everyone, lost his health. And yet the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 2, that in all of this, Job did not sin against God with his lips. Lost his kids, his substance, and his health. And in fact, told his wife to shut up, be quiet, when she told him to curse God. Wouldn't do it. Why? Something so captured him that circumstances did not dictate his praise. Circumstance did not dictate his life. I want you to be captured by a vision, much like the man we celebrate this weekend, that if it meant giving your life for it, you wouldn't release it. I don't want you to have just a vision to live for. I want you to have one that you'd be willing to give your life over for it. Amen? Speculation or revelation, not just a general idea. I was sent into the world with this wisdom from my uncles. Graduate high school and don't get anybody pregnant. Off you go. So I found a drill instructor who helped me understand some other things in life. But I was always searching for why I got here because my mother had me out of wedlock when she was 16 in 1966. So there wasn't one of these planned. I was an oops baby. Hello. So there wasn't this planned out, you know, he's going to be this and we've got money set aside for him. That wasn't what it was. But then I read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 where God said that he had known Jeremiah. Listen to this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Okay, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, speaking to Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you ever inhaled your first breath, God said he knew you and he had already formed you in the womb. There are no accidents. You may have been adopted or you may have been rejected and abandoned like me, but God has his hand on you, had his eyes on you your entire life. Before I formed you, he says, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. And listen to this. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you a prophet to the nation. What is he saying? I had a vision for your life. I had an assignment for you before you were ever even born. That's something you ought to be asking the Lord right now. What was the assignment? What is the assignment for my life that you spoke over me before I was even born? I want to know what that is. You're looking at somebody tonight. I don't know everything, but I know, you're going to ask my wife, I've been following a vision that God gave me before I even looked like I was capable of doing anything. I remember needing to get out of church quick to go smoke a Newport. Anybody ever been there? I know I don't. Look, come on, somebody. Y'all like, yeah, you got to hurry up. This sermon's going long. But God spoke to me before I looked like I was able because he wasn't looking for my ability. He knew that through the Holy Spirit, he was going to change and transform me. Hello? It's important that you hear that. Because sometimes God will call you to do things that you immediately look in the mirror, not the mirror of God's word, but you look in the other mirror and disqualify yourself because you don't see ability. Let me just say something to you. God's vision will always precede resources and people, and it'll always precede your ability. If you've got a vision, if Tom has a vision for this church that he can fulfill and doesn't precede your wallet, doesn't precede your staffing capabilities, then you need to figure out what's wrong with Tom. He needs a vision that only God can fulfill. And that's what you need in your life as well, a vision that propels you forward where you say, only God could do this. There's no way I could do it except if I yield to the Lord. Amen? Okay, so we want a revelation. Let me say this. You got to give your whole heart to seek it. I'd ask this question of you tonight. How bad do you want to know what God's plan is for your life? Because in Jeremiah 29, everybody got t-shirts and cups. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, Israel, in captivity. Got it. But nobody reads verse 13 when it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. How bad do you want to know what God has spoken over you in the womb? The plans that he has for your life, the vision. I want to know what God wants. Do you want it bad enough to turn social media off? Do you want it bad enough to miss the playoffs tomorrow? I don't know how important vision is to you. Start Monday morning. Hello. I would say to you this. The easiest way to find out why something was created is to ask its creator. Why have I been born? Why do I have the set of circumstances I have in my life? Why do I have the gifts? Why do I have the experiences? Why is my narrative the way it is? What is it that you want to use it for? Who do you want to send me to? Come on, somebody. Okay, so Paul, and I know this is seemingly dislocated. I'm going somewhere. Paul says these words in Acts 26. It's one of my favorite portions of scripture. He finds himself before King Agrippa, and he's giving basically his testimony to King Agrippa. And he says at the end, he says, all of these things, you got to go and read tonight, Acts chapter 9, because that is the moment that changes the trajectory of Paul's life. It is the same moment you need to have. A moment of revelation where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has spoken something to you. Paul has that moment on the Damascus Road, gets knocked off his horse, hears a voice from heaven, and gets the trajectory of his life changed. Two things happen in that moment. He finds out who Jesus is, whom he's persecuting, and he finds out Jesus says, I've got some things I want you to do. And he spends the rest of his life. And in this testimony, he says to King Agrippa in verse 19 of chapter 26, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. There's a heavenly vision for your life, and there's a carnal one that we have. I have a vision for my life that doesn't look like what God would want for me. Hello. And there's some things that I would like to do with my life, but my life has been redeemed. I've given my life over to the Lord. And therefore, you're looking at somebody who's convinced that I will wreck my life left to myself. Anybody else in this room? Anybody? Let me just see. You're convinced. You know why you're convinced? There's evidence to support that. Y'all crazy. Okay, I got to run. What time we got to be done? What time we out of here? Okay. 10 o'clock. He really wanted to see God. Okay, listen to me. Let's go. So how do I conceive this vision? How many want to know? That's 5 of you. That's 10 of you. Anybody else back there in the upper room? Okay, I can't with y'all. Be quiet. Come on. I got a sermon to get through here. Okay. Paul goes through hardships. Shipwreck, abandonment, all types of things, fastings. He's by himself. He's betrayed. He's stoned. He's thrown in prison. And he never relents. Because you know why? He had a heavenly vision given to him. Something of Jesus changed and transformed him, so captured his heart that he did not even grasp his very life. He gave his life over to it. In fact, Paul would write letters from prison to people. How many know that? I just want you to know that if I end up in prison for something, you better write me a letter. Paul writes letters to encourage the church from Philippi. Come on, somebody. The church in Philippians writes letters while in prison to encourage them. Because why? The vision. Doesn't matter what the circumstances of my life are. He had his eyes on a vision, a heavenly vision. You won't be worried about who you're going to date on Friday night when you have a heavenly vision. And not to mention single people, what you want is somebody who's captured by a heavenly vision and not your beauty externally, ladies, or your biceps, brothers. Hello. You want somebody that's captured by a heavenly vision, and the pursuit of such brings you together. So then you have a marriage that pursues the things of God, and you don't have to drag somebody to church. That'll help you. This helped me. There it is. Habakkuk chapter 2 says this. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will answer to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. I'll get there. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on the table so that a herald may run with it. Verse 3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it tarry. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Habakkuk has a disagreement with God. He does not like that God is using the Babylonians as his instrument of judgment. In Habakkuk chapter 1, he lays this out, and he's in complete disagreement with God. Anybody have a disagreement with God? And so he does not agree with how God has pronounced judgment and will use them as an instrument of judgment on the nation of Israel. And so he offers this complaint, and then in chapter 2, he is waiting to receive a revelation from the Lord. There are principles here that you can extrapolate out to help you conceive your vision as well. The first thing in verse 1 is that he sets himself apart to seek the Lord. He is in, it's called a rampart, but what it is, it's a tower. It's a tower that overlooks a field. It is a solitary place. It is a place where he can get away from distractions. The first thing you have to do if you're going to conceive God's vision is you got to get above everything. Come on, say it with me, get above it. That's five of you. Say it again. Say, get above it. Get above. You got to get above everything and everyone else. You got to get above the noise. Some of you like to go out in the woods. Some of you like to go to the beach. Some of you say, I can't get out. I got kids. Then get above the laundry, girl. Come on. Put the kids down for a nap and create in your space a sacred enclosure where you can meet with the Lord inside your life that is free from distraction. So some of you are night owls. Do it at night. Do it in the morning. But you've got a place that you set apart. He says, listen, he says, I'm going to stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. It's a place of overlooking. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer he will give to my complaint. It's a place where you go distraction-free and expectation. I'm expecting that God's going to speak to me. I'm expecting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting in his presence. Not just one day, not just 2 days. Don't put God on your schedule. How many know? God is never late, but he misses some really good opportunities to be early. You'll get that on Monday. Don't worry about it. Ta-da-da. But you're going to wait. May not be the first day. May not be the second. He may be drawing you in, exhausting you, wanting to see your desire, testing your desire, and resolve to seek him to get a plan. I said to you already, others will give you a plan if you won't conceive of God's. Wait on him with expectation. And then the next thing he says, what? He says, write it down, and then I'm going to say, read it and run with it. Now, what would happen is they would get these revelations, and a heralder would run with the word. So he's going to write it down on a tablet. There are no tablets. Come on. We're going to write it down in our email, on our iPads or whatever you got. And you're going to write down literally what God said because you're going to be the one running with it. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I run that I get discouraged. There are times that I run that people that said they were going to run with me stop running with me. Oh, y'all not talking to me? Tom, wouldn't you like to have a dollar for everybody that said they would help you build the church? I got you, Pastor. I'm behind you. Gone. I wish I had a dollar for every one of them for the last 30 years. But you know what? You know who has stayed with me, who has been a faithful companion? The Holy Spirit. Been with me every step of the way. Come on. And every now and then, instead of putting your visions and your dreams away somewhere, you got to keep those things in front of you to remind you in the dark season what God said in the light. There's going to be some moments this year and the year after where there's going to be some loss. There's going to be some things that happen that you did not expect that were going to happen and befall your life. And you're going to need to be able to, as David did, encourage yourself. What has God said? What did God say to me about my life? My life doesn't look like what God said, but I know he has the power in an instant to reverse my fortunes. I know in a moment that he has all power, all resources to make what he has spoken to me come to pass overnight if need be. Joseph goes from the prison to the palace overnight. God reverses his fortunes and his vision comes to pass. But it was a long process. Can you say amen? It's a long journey from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. You ought to read it sometime. It's a wonderful story. Read it, write it, read it, and then run with it. Say run.
Run.
That's like five of you. Say run.
Run.
Matthew 14 and 28 says this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, the rest of that is what everybody teaches about, which is basically him sinking because he saw the wind and the waves. There's still not one of us that's walked on the water yet. The principle is that the word of God empowers, sustains, upholds. He said, if it's you, then at your word, bid me to come. This is your revelation point. This is why it's so important for you to not look at yourself, but look at what God has said. Write it down, read it, and run. Why? Because the word of God ought to be calling you out of your comfort zone if it is a vision from the Lord. Oh, security-minded people, I got to run. Come on. It ought to be calling you into a place where you're uncomfortable, recovering control freaks, where you're no longer in control, where God controls the narrative, where God has to come through. Peter steps out of the boat of his companions, of complacency, of comfort, and walks on water. Your vision ought to compel you into a place where only God's word can uphold you. I found myself in rooms and doing things that only, I just baffles my mind. How did you get here? How did you get the name that you got? It baffles my mind when people introduce me and I'm like having these moments like, who are they talking about? Because if anything good comes out of my life, it's because of God in it. It's the goodness of God inside my life that's making his vision come to pass. Are you hearing me? I've got to run. I've got to take intentional steps of faith. And here's what I say to you just in passing and closing. Let me say this in reference to visions of God. Visions of God don't come naturally to your brain. They capture your heart first. It's like having you see some injustice. It's like Sarah seeing kids that need to be mentored, and kids' hope captures her heart because these kids must be taught. Not that they should be taught, they must be taught. And then it captures her in such a way that she has to act. Then that person enlists others who are captured by that same thing. It may be some injustice that you see that needs to be righted. It may be some aspect of human flourishing that people are not flourishing the way that God would design them to. And you're saying, I'm going to be God's representative to ensure that the kingdom does in fact come near to them in a very practical way. Amen? But it's always that God is sharing some part of his burden with us. And it always will require some sacrifice from you. It's not about making you famous. Oh, that'll separate you right there. The vision from God is not about making you famous. It's about making Jesus famous. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap tonight. And then lastly, be patient. Be patient. Nothing good comes overnight. Come on, somebody. You can't get anything good overnight. You can't even get a good cup of coffee very fast anymore. Come on. Starbucks is not a good cup of coffee. I've been informed by my Colombian friends. The Bible said that the revelation is for an appointed time and that we should wait for it. God's appointed time. I'm always in disagreement with God. I don't know about you, but I try to run ahead of God too often. And I find God saying, it's not time yet, Keith. I've got to prepare you and I've got to prepare others for the vision that I have for him. How many of you got to know that you got to trust God's wisdom in the timing? You may not be married right now. You may not have what you thought you would have resource-wise, but you got to trust the wisdom of God. God knows what you can take in a given season of your life, and you got to trust him that you have what you need right now. You have the grace that you need. You have the relationships that you need. In fact, some of you are looking around at what you don't have, and you don't realize all of the many splendid blessings of the Lord already in your life right now. And if we stewarded and cultivated what God has already given us, we could see the blessing of the Lord flourish in our lives. Amen? Stand to your feet with me all over the building. Stand to your feet with me just for a moment of time. I just want to take a minute. I'm pretty much over my time. I'm pretty sure I am. But I'm grateful we don't have another service coming back in. So can we do this for a minute? Can you just close your eyes before the Lord? Just bow your head. Let's practice what we're going to do in leaving this place for the next couple of weeks. Just waiting on the Lord to conceive of his vision. Lord, we're waiting on you tonight, and we're going to continue to wait in your presence until we conceive of a heavenly vision, until you speak to us the way you spoke to Paul and others, and captured their heart and their lives with vision, your vision. And though we may not see it come to pass in this year, we want to be positioned according to your will and your vision for our lives. We want to make the most of this moment, this opportunity. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what, I don't have a vision for my life. Somebody invited me here and, you know, I've had some speculation going, some theories about how I would live my life and what it would be. But I see now in this moment that Jesus has a specific and unique calling for my life and vision for me. There is purpose for me beyond what I could speculate, that there's revelation. And Pastor Keith, since you've been talking, I realize that I need to yield my life over to the Lord and let his vision come to pass. Let him begin to direct my life. Maybe you've done that before in the past. Maybe this will be the first time and you say, you know what, I need to yield my life over to the Lord. I would say to you, friend, that Jesus came to pay for our sins that we might have a relationship with the Father, so that we might be in union with him in lockstep. We have an opportunity to be restored the way that Adam did not have in the garden. Instead of hiding behind our shame and whatever fig leaves that we would sew together to hide our condition, the Holy Spirit is here tonight to forgive, to heal, to save, and to restore. You say, you know what, I've made a wreck of my life. If the Lord wants this, then I will turn it over to him from this day forward. I'm here to tell you that God loves to take our mess and make a beautiful, beautiful mosaic of it. If that's you tonight, lift your hand tonight. Say, Pastor Keith, would you pray for me? I see hands going up all in the back, all in the front, all around me. See those hands? Here's what I would say to you. If you've got your hand up, would you do this? Just lift your other hand as a sign of surrender. Yep. As I take my hands off my life, Lord, I repent, turn to you, ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, place me back into your family. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is speaking to men and women all around me. We're restoring. You're restoring lives. You're reclaiming your sons and daughters. So tonight, Father, Holy Spirit, what you've begun tonight, would you complete that work in all of their lives from this day until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? While you got your hands raised for a moment, why don't you just tell the Lord, receive Jesus. And if there's an area in your life where you recognize it's out of alignment with God, repent of it. Say, Lord, forgive me for going on my own way and doing it my way, out of speculation, out of rebellion. But tonight, I'm turning to you, Jesus. The rest of us, if you're here and you say, you know what, I don't have vision for my life, but I need to have one. I realize it now, very specific, not general. And you said, this is your moment. You said, Lord, I need a revelation. Lift your hand right now. That's you. I want to pray for you before you leave. I need a revelation of what God's will is for my life. Got you. Father, in Jesus' name, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive your word, your revelation. We're going to be like Habakkuk. We're going to stand our watch. We're going to wait on you with expectation. We're going to open our hearts above the noise, above the voices and the clamor of the day. God, would you speak to us uniquely, individually about your vision, and then empower us by the Holy Spirit to fulfill what you have spoken. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap tonight. Amen. Listen, I'm pretty sure that they have a process here for somebody. If you gave your life to the Lord, rededicated your life, man, I see you. What's your name, man? I see you. God's got his hand on you, Frank. God's got his hand on your life. Tonight, your whole trajectory, the whole course of your life just got altered. Amen? Follow through with that. Come on, Tom. Sorry.